Matthew 16, I'll start reading in verse 13. And Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, a son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Father, we bless you for the word of the Lord. We thank you, God, that you've already made provision for every single thing that we would need as a born-again believer. Father, we thank you that you would now speak to our hearts and open up our minds to all that you have for us. This congregation, let it be blanketed with the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, that every hearing ear will be empowered and equipped to do all that you call them to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. I want to go over to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. I don't see anybody fanning now because the air is on. So you're going to go from being hot to being cold. If you have a certain age, you're going to stay hot. Younger people, as long as you don't know anything about it, don't worry about it. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door, which were the keepers of the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He was having a dream. That's what he's thinking. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Now, we want to talk about authority of kingdom keys. Authority of kingdom keys. You notice in Matthew that the Bible says in chapter 16, Jesus said that I give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We understand the keys are very important as we do kingdom ministry. The reason this church is different than where you possibly have started out or experienced, because we function by kingdom keys. And those kingdom keys are revelation, knowledge, power, authority. Those are what kingdom keys do. They help you to advance your cause and your purpose. But you have to stay within the order and the confines of God's kingdom structure. So Peter has now been given kingdom keys. I'm going to elaborate on the keys just a little bit more, but just give me some time to lay my foundation. With these keys, hell would not be able to overcome the church. But without these keys, hell can overcome a church. They'll have a good day today and non-existent tomorrow. That's why he said, "You, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom because I'm building a church that the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against." If you notice that many who are born again and call themselves Christians seem to be suffering, and not suffering for a good cause, but suffering almost to destruction. And I'm not saying that, and you can say what you want to say, but I've been around for a while, and being around for a while, I notice that people who used to be strong are weak. I notice that people who used to be consistent are no longer consistent. Seems like hell is having his way. People who used to be faithful are no longer faithful. Seems like hell is having its way. And I'm not preaching against anyone that doesn't do in-person worship, but 3 years of pandemic can change your belief about gathering together to get your brothers and sisters. If 3 years of pandemic can rob your desire to come and worship, somewhere in there, hell had its way. Would you not agree? If a situation arises in this Holy Spirit that we're talking about, the ones you call spooky, I call powerful. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have him with me. I wouldn't, y'all. I couldn't have made it. There's sometimes I didn't have a natural language to explain what I was going through. And I had to speak in a language that may have been foreign to others and even foreign to me. But all of a sudden, my help came and got me through the trauma, because sometimes you can go through things at the hands of people you trust. Nothing's worse than being broken down by somebody that's supposed to be holding you up. Your mind is trying to process it. You're trying to get them to become better, like what I read earlier, and they turn around and think you're fighting them when you're trying to take them to the next level. So it takes the Holy Spirit to settle you down and say, it's going to be okay. So these kingdom keys are what we need. And I came from my pastor, who is at home to be with the Lord. He didn't train us like you train a traditional church. In his training and reading of his books was part of the curriculum for our education. So he wrote a book called Taking Over. He wrote another book, Gladiators. These are not passive people who accept anything that comes their way and cry and pout and complain. So within his books, within these curriculums, it taught us how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what it taught us. It taught us more of a gladiator style. If I got to fight by myself, I'm going to keep swinging my sword. It taught us that kind of depth in you. You don't scare me. That kind of thing. And it's not that I'm mean. It's not that I'm territorial. But when you cross the line in my territory, I won't bite, but I'll let you know that's far as you can go. So we were trained by that kind of strength in a leader, that when he opened up his mouth, he didn't open up his mouth asking. He opened up his mouth with authority and expected things to shift and to change when he opened up his mouth. Now, if you've been mentored by somebody that needs your help just to get to the platform, then you may not know what I'm talking about, but this was a man's man. You know what I'm saying? Everything about him, when he walked into the room, everybody knew he was in the room, and they didn't even have to see him walk in the room. So if my persona is that strong, my mentor shaped me like that, not to run away and cry and pout and tell my wife about what's going on. No, go get an answer and bring back the solution to my wife. You know, it just wasn't like that. It was just, you know, you were robust. You wasn't no fragile person. Take your ball and bat and go home. You learned how to stay in the fight. You didn't know. You didn't. What do you mean? You never saw his back because he never ran. So that was my training. So you have to understand, I can't be what you were accustomed to because I wasn't raised like that. Every message, I caught every message. Every book I read, and I became the information that he was putting out. That meant that I was a good mentee. Yeah. So I just wanted to explain that. So if I seem unusual, you can always trace it back to who poured into them. Now, if you meet somebody in here and they've been around for a long time and ain't got no backbone. Oh, they were around, but they weren't listening. Because ain't no way you can be around that long and be that passive and don't have any loyalty and commitment. No. That didn't come from me. I don't know what snake you've been talking to. So let me talk about these keys. These things are very important. They're important for life. This is the message. The message of the kingdom is the message that the black church needs to hear. Because our last king that was extremely productive got assassinated. And really, I told Shannon on the way back from Atlanta, we're still living off the sacrifice of an assassinated man. The stuff you get a chance to do now is what was achieved before they shot him. But if we get the revelation, if we get the keys, I believe somebody can do something now so we stop complaining about stuff we can change. Let me tell you why you're depressed. You don't believe you can change your situation. Listen to this. When keys are given, the power to open or close has been granted. When keys are given, there are just a few men who have keys to this building. They have the power to open and to close. Without a key, they have no power. They can pull on that door all they want to. That door is not going to respond until they have keys. I'm careful about who I give keys to, because when you give a key out, you're giving authority out. Whoever has a key to your house has authority over your house. You can be gone and they come back and they can be throwing a party at your house. And you wonder, why are you at my house throwing a party? You know our neighbors don't like it. Well, you gave me the authority by giving me the key. So a key. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. I need heaven shut sometimes. I need heaven open sometimes. I need somebody that knows how to steward moments. I don't need heaven shut when I got numbers of souls I want to save. I don't need heaven shut when I want to increase the membership of citizenship. I need heaven open when the praise and worship is going forth so it can minister to the hearts of the people. I need heaven open when my word is being echoed from heaven down to earth. I need keys to open it. He said, Peter, I'm giving you keys. I'm giving you keys to open up things. I'm giving you keys to close things. I'm giving you keys because you now have access. Some of you don't know how important access is. Because I know how important access is, I maintain the relationships that access gave me. Never lose a relationship that's dear, especially connected to your destiny, because they gave you a key when they let you in. That was a key. They gave you access. Don't listen to the people on the other side of the door that's never been into the room. They don't know what the room is like because they've never been given access. How can they educate you? They can only tell you what one side of the door looks like. You're given access. He said, I'm giving you access, Peter. I like you, boy. I'll give you some access. Keys to the kingdom are a symbolic description of the authority given to Peter by Jesus. He says, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom, which is a symbol of the authority that Jesus is now transferring from himself to Peter. He said, I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you power, boy. You don't know how to use it yet. You're going to make some mistakes. But I'm going to give it to you now because you got a future you don't know much about. So I'm going to give you these keys. And when I give you these keys, you're going to be able to do some stuff that you normally wouldn't be able to do in the church. The church is a little bit weak in this area. You give them titles and they still weak. You giving them assignments, they can't get it done. You want to know why? Because if you don't give them the authority and they know how to embrace the authority, they'll stand on the outside of a door that they have the ability to open. They didn't know. They didn't know what the position was for. They didn't know the power of the position. They want a title with no keys. They want a collar with no keys. Don't matter how much collars you wear, you don't have any authority and power, you're picking a fight you can't win. So this authority that Jesus gave, he gave it to Peter. So I'm giving you this type of power. You're going to have power in the earth. Yeah. But you're going to have power in heaven also. The major problem with most people is all they have is power in the earth. So if they get sick, it's over. If they get confused, it's over. When you got power in earth and in heaven, it's dual dimensional. You can't just have powerful giftings without powerful prayer. Because if you don't know how to touch heaven, these gonna take you out down here, and you're gonna become suicidal because of what you had starts dismissing itself from you, and you don't realize it came from heaven. Every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. You think you can't get any more of it because something left your life that you thought would always stay in your life. But when you know you got authority and power on earth, and you also know you got it in heaven too, he said, I'm not just giving you a good job. I'm not just giving you talent and ability. I'm giving you authority that when you raise your head up and speak to the hills from which comes your help. Doesn't matter what's going on in this earth. When you raise your head and understand where the authority and the power comes from, I'll come and wipe out an army on your behalf and they won't know what happened to them. See, the thing of it is, Jesus has already anticipated the battles and the challenges that Peter is going to go through. And he said, boy, you're going to need some stuff. He said, in just a few scriptures, the devil's going to get on you to try to stop me from doing my assignment. You're going to need to be in touch with heaven in order to recover. Most people don't recover from their failures, and they still rehearsing it over and over and over again. Because you cannot recover from your failures until you get in touch with heaven. And as long as you got this level of relationship, you still feel bad about stuff that God don't even remember no more. So he's got this dual authority, heaven and earth. He can lock stuff up in the earth and he can lock stuff up in heaven. How much is in violation in your life right now? Now, depression shouldn't be on you in a climate like this. How much is passing through the gate that you should have locked? Your depression should have lasted long enough for you to pull on the parking lot. Because every parking space, depression is illegal in every parking space. And you say, well, I parked on the grass. It's illegal on the grass too. So nothing should be infiltrating your life in a place where it's considered illegal. You never had a clear thought all weekend long. Your thoughts should get clearer when you come on this campus, because on this campus, confusion is not allowed. We lock it out. The only way you can get it in is you had it concealed when they greeted you at the door. The only way you can get it in is that you hid it under your clothing or behind your smile and your lipstick and your eyelashes. But if we detect it, we let it know. You got an eviction notice today. You can't ride them no more. You can't hang around them no more. They walked into the threshold of this house and you got to let them go, because the power of God, the power of the keys, the authority of God said it's unacceptable in this house. Key is something that secures or controls entrance to a place. If you got a key, you control the entrance and you can secure a thing. I know people don't understand me sometimes. I just got keys. I'm not bossy. I'm protective. I'm security, baby. It's my job. I've been deputized. I've been authorized. And ain't nobody got to tell me. I've already dressed myself in it. I know I got keys. I don't need nobody to vote now. I got keys now. And it's my job to make sure nothing gets in here to harass you and harass me and harass my family and harass the praise team and harass the band and harass the faithful members of this house. That's part of my job. I know it wasn't the job of the last pastor you voted in. He lost his authority when he let you vote. There's no way you can have authority and those demotion deacons voted you in. I can't find in the Bible where the deacons chose the apostles and the leaders, but I can find in the Bible where the apostles selected the deacons. So don't start deaconing here as long as I have the keys. I don't care how much they tell you, you make a good deacon. Are you taking care of the widows? Are you taking care of the children, the orphans? That's your job. It ain't to run the pasture. Listen to me. You ain't got enough keys, which means you ain't got the authority to run this pulpit. Excuse me. Now, no disrespect. No disrespect. I don't know what ghost is haunting some people from the last church they came from, wanting us to be like them. I'm not like them. I'm a free man. A key has to be especially cut to fit a lock or move a bolt. Keys, I don't care how much they look like the key, look like the right key, if it don't have that unique cut in it. You can insert it all you want to, but you can't turn it. Too many of y'all hanging with people that's got stuff that look like us. But if they can't turn that lock and get you out, they ain't got the right key. If you don't feel better after you get through texting them, emailing them, talking to them for an entire hour on the phone, they ain't got the right key. Because what I'm saying is they ain't got the authority over the thing you struggling with. And if they got the right key and it's got the right cut, you're going to feel better in 5 minutes or less when you're talking. You're going to start feeling something lifting off of you when you're in conversation because they got the right cut. Some people, most of you are here because I got the right cut. You went everywhere else and nothing got turned over. But when you come up in refresh, all of a sudden, you can hear the tumbles going over. All of a sudden, I feel something coming off of me. I feel like I can be the man that God called me to be. I feel like I can do what God called me to be. I ain't got to be no single woman all my life. I'm a wife, because we turn it. Some things you will never believe that you can be until you get around the people who have the right cut. I didn't believe I could be what I am now until I got around a man that was saying something that showed me how I was cut. You gotta get to those edges that cause the uniqueness to come out of you. So I can't be what you want me to be because I've been cut right. So if I'm being cut right, God's gonna do me right. I know I can't minister to everybody, but there's some somebodies out there that don't want me to shut my mouth. In fact, when I'm done, they go back to live stream and said, I got to hear this again. Because they are fine-tuned to the cut in my life because it opens something in their lives. All you talk about is Apostle Davis because something in me frees something in you that nobody else can free. It's all right for you to talk about me because I am not your key. But those of you who know I am your key, I'm cut just right to cause you to feel like you can take on this world and not worry about your opposition. You're the one I came for. Special cut. We got multiple keys. We have multiple keys that look like the same key, but there's one key called the master's key, and it'll open up most of the doors in this church. The people you trust, you give them a master key. The people you're still thinking about, you give them one that cuts, that it only opens up one door. He says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom, Peter, because I know you're kind of weak, but I can trust you. Some people are looking at the 12, like, why did they choose them? It's because something in them may not be today, may not be tomorrow, but one day, there's something in them that's going to turn loose. And when it does, everybody's gonna know it. Why? Because that's just this little edge in them. You don't need somebody that said, I want to be a yes sir. I want you to be able to think, because I gotta trust you when you get away from me, that you don't let things stay broke down when you have the ability to fix it. There's something on the inside of them that said, I'm a thinker, and while you in another country, I'm gonna get this thing together because you chose me and I got that little thing about myself. Peter was given the keys or authority of heaven to bind and loose. Apostle, you know for yourself, we don't hear much about binding and loosing now, which means that there's a lot of stuff loose that needs to be bound. And there's a lot of stuff bound up that needs to be loose. And you got to understand that there, when the things are going crazy, you got to get your key to secure that door. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. What he means is take your authority and lock the door. There are things that needs to be released into your life. There are things that you prayed about and almost given up on God concerning it because somebody like the devil has locked a door, caused a generational curse, caused you to suffer financially, caused you to suffer mentally, caused you to suffer in areas where you should not be suffering. But we came today to make an announcement that there are keys inside this house, and everything that's been blocked up for the last 5 to 10 years, we're going to turn the tumble and we're going to remove the boat so that you can do what God placed you in this earth to do. All you need is somebody that carries enough authority to insert and turn. Somebody shout, let me out. You ain't got to worry about this type of man or this race of man. When you got keys, they can't lock you up no more. They can't lock you up when you got keys. You got authority. You're all depressed because you don't feel like you got the power to change something. That was before the service started. When you leave here today, you're going to know you got power, authority, and keys to change your life, get your money, get your sanity, get your peace, get your life back. Don't let the devil make you look at a door that you got the keys and authority to open up that no man can shut. I'm not worried. As long as I got keys. You can't come in here no more. You got to take my keys. You can't have victory. You got to take my keys. We're not going to let you be at peace. You got to take my keys. You're going to be sick all your life. You got to take my keys. I just locked up cancer. I just locked up sugar diabetes. I just locked up lung cancer. I just locked up kidney disease. You got to lock it up. You got to bind it up. That shouldn't have liberty in the church. None of these diseases will I put on you. Lock it up. Talk to it. Tell it it's illegal. Tell it to get in its place. The only reason that devil tried to get you to take your life, if you have so much life to live, he would have never challenged your life if you didn't have something to offer in this world. He wants to take you out of here before we recognize you. He wants to take you out of here before you find your niche, you get in your thing that feeds you every time you wake up in the morning. Nothing can bind you when you're doing what you do, because what you do feeds you. That's why we got to unlock you so that you can do what you're called to do. You may not be called to preach, but just your presence in that organization makes everybody want to know who Jesus is. Authority, heaven, bind, loose. I want you to make a list of what's going on in your life that you don't like. And I want you to make another list of things you want to happen in your life that seem like they've been on hold. And I want you to get any key out of your house. I want you to lay it on top of your list. I want you to tell that devil that's holding back what belongs to you, I have the keys of authority. And every illegal thing that's moving through my life, I'm locking it up today. And everything that you've been holding for the last 3 or 4 generations away from me, I open it up with my key today. Devil, this is your last day. Torment me. I got knowledge now. I got understanding now. I have power now. I have my keys now. I'm about to flip you, Apostle Ackland. They locked up the man who had keys in Acts chapter 12. They put shackles on his hands, put him into the third ward, sat him between 2 soldiers trying to lock him down. Some of y'all feel like that. Had intentions of him never getting out, but what they didn't hear was the announcement of the keys that was given to you. How do you lock up a key? They put the key in the inward ward, intending the next day to come and do harm to him. The church prayed for the key, because we need this key to keep talking. Because the last time he preached, Pentecost was crazy. Last time he talked, it eliminated all the poverty that was among us. So we don't need him locked up, because he has a key. So they prayed, and as they prayed, all of a sudden, he was unaware, he was asleep. I'm gonna wake y'all up today. The Bible said he was sleeping. When you're sleeping, you're not aware of the environment around you. Some of y'all are sleeping because things are so bad, all you know is to go to sleep. Some of y'all took medicine to go to sleep, because you wanted to think that where you were was just a place in your dreams. But all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord showed up and smote him on the side, said, "Get up, boy, put your sandals on, put your clothes on." When he got up, the Bible said the locks that was on his hands, the shackles, the chains, because he was the key, they fell off. They couldn't stay on him. So somebody in this audience right now, or somebody streaming, while I'm preaching up in this house, whatever has your hands tied together, it's got to let you go, because we have the keys up in this house. The Bible said he got up and he put on his robe and had on his sandals, and he started to walk with the Spirit of God. He walked out of the first ward, second ward, into the third ward, to the iron gate. Every place he walked through, it began to open to him because he was the key. I want to tell some of y'all, you're like an automatic door. I believe the Lord is allowing his Spirit to be on you through the revelation and the power of the keys, that whatever was shut in front of you, the closer you get, it's got to open up. The Bible said he walked from the enemy. They must have been afraid of him because they had him so deep that no visitors to come to see him. Some of y'all been so alone because things had you locked up, but you coming out today, your lonely days are over. They thought you, that devil thought he had you confined for a lifetime, but he didn't know that you were going to come in here and you going to get your keys. So he's walking. Chains fell off. Small lock. First door open. Medium sized lock. But they all opening. Getting him ready for the iron gate. The Bible said that when he got to the iron gate, what you needed a major key. And you needed major authority. Even the iron gate couldn't resist him because he had the key. I don't know how big that devil is that's trying to keep you. I don't know how long it's been around, but I want to tell you now, even if it's an iron gate, it's about to open up. He says, so the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against you. Whatever devil has been coming against your life, we're going to put keys in your hands today. And all you got to do is work your key. Nothing's going to stop what God has ordained for your life. And if you believe it, I need you to shout right there. If they think you've been blessed, they ain't seen nothing yet. If they think you've been powerful, they ain't seen nothing yet. If they think you've taken over, they haven't seen anything yet. One more shout in this house of freedom. The strength of the church was dependent upon the freedom of Peter. The strength of the church, they had already killed James. The strength of the church was dependent upon the freedom of Peter. If Peter didn't have keys, the church would have suffered more with dread. They would have deteriorated in their mentality. They would have went from warriors to a wimp. But all of a sudden, all the gates opened, and Peter winded up at the door of the house that was praying for him. So it done something in the church. I know all of you don't like victory in the leader, but some of y'all who get real encouraged when the leader can overcome, I'm your guy. Don't stop celebrating for me, because we're going to open up some more stuff. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with celebrating the freedom of your leader. I know it's different, but it's good. You can't be no stronger if I'm weak. I am an example of your future. I am what God has planned for your life. That you look the devil right in the face and say, devil, get thee behind me. Listen, my last point and I'm done. The church has unlimited authority when the leader is endorsed by heaven. Let me help you. The one you voted in doesn't carry the level of authority that's needed for the breakthrough you need in your life. If you control them, the devil hinders you. But when they have unlimited operation, you might as well say, what you at, devil? Because when the real church rises up, you can't have a strong church with weak leadership. Let me say that again. You can't have a strong church with weak leadership. Y'all can't have a strong family if I'm a weak leader. Because what be on me, be on you. So you walk out of this place. Tell your money your days of being funny is over. Tell. Y'all better hear me. Tell depression. You better flip. I'm going to have a party. I'm going to have a celebration today. You tried to take my joy. You tried to take my peace. You tried to stop my celebration. But let me show you something today. I'm going to praise anyway. You can't bind my praise. You can't rob me of my worship. You can't stop me from having a good life. I have keys. Look, I told him in Atlanta this morning, even when we got in this building, it wasn't attracting millionaires. I said, for Lord, for the assignment you placed on my life, I need some millionaires. We just too radical. It wouldn't attract millionaires. Millionaires think you're supposed to sit there and look cute. So I said, well, I got a Bible and I understand the kingdom. I'll take these poverty stricken people and start teaching them a kingdom word until the income starts going up. I ain't begging for money. Until they start living the life that they hadn't even dreamed about. And the more I taught, the more the money came in, the more the opportunities came. And it wasn't no mistake. I knew exactly what I was teaching, and I knew exactly what to expect. And if you know your life has increased since you've been at Refresh, I need you to make some noise. I told poverty, I told demotion, I told job losses, I told everything that will work against your advancement in the kingdom of God, you have no rights. So fill their banks. Give them promotion after promotion after promotion after promotion until they the CEO. All that I got on my mind is some people like y'all rising up so that the name of the Lord is glorified. Take about 30 seconds to shout. Millions, billions, we finance the kingdom. You better stay around here and get your direct deposit. You better stay around here and get your raise. There's some over this ministry, and it's producing winners and not losers. Slap about three people a high five. Tell them I'm a winner, I'm a winner, I'm a winner. Hey! Money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. I'm going somewhere. I know the devil don't like it. I know they're talking about you, but you can't stop you. And if they can't stop you, don't worry about it. Well, you're too loud. Well, you shout too much. But I'm blessed. I got a reason to shout. I'm blessed. Look at your neighbor. Tell him I'm blessed. Where my millionaires at? Where my billionaires at? Yeah! He who is planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. I am the one. I am the one. I may have been broke yesterday. I may be broke today. But I am the one. Shout. Shout. Shout.
Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. I'm telling you, you got keys now. When you start opening up your mouth to pray, believe that your petitions are heard by God, and God has given you what you have asked Him for. There's more coming. 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 I'm not going to do no second offering on a regular month. No, there's more coming. There's more coming. There's more coming. There's more coming. If you mad right now, there's more coming. I suggest myself, there's more coming. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. There's more coming. We unlock heaven over you today. I said we unlock heaven over you today. I said we unlock heaven over your life today. How do you preach like that? Twice in a day. Because I left the earth. I'm speaking from heaven. Heaven never runs out of wisdom. Heaven never runs out of knowledge. Heaven never runs out of energy. It's just the earth that runs low. Heaven never runs low. When you open up heaven, you're going to see what nobody else is seeing. You're going to go where many of your same bloodline has never gone. I'm telling you, there's an open heaven over this place. And I told God, if you would help me to open up heaven, I will see your people do things that they didn't even dream about. Some of y'all are just like Peter. You don't realize when you walk all the way through, you thought it was a dream. No, it's not a dream. I believe this next step is going to be such a reality to you that you have been drawn to something that's going to take you to a destination that nobody in your family talked about.